right, I'm joined in the studio today by DJ Format. Hello, Format.
How you doing, Jamie?
I'm not bad. I've got a bit of a headache from last night. Last night you played the Mint Lounge. How was it?
It was a really good night, actually. I'm just suffering today a little bit, you know, paying for all that drinking I did. So it was a great night, though. Really good.
Did you see any of the Stones Throw Lock?
I did, yeah. I was really pleasantly surprised with... I mean, I don't really follow a lot of hip-hop. I don't know if people know that, but I don't listen to too much hip-hop these days, so I wasn't really familiar with Guilty Simpson, but he was really great and a really, really nice guy, which obviously is kind of rare these days, you know. You get some Americans coming over with a bit of a strange attitude, but he was a really, really good guy. And Percy P was quite literally one of the most unique people I've ever met. He was just walking around the club, meeting and greeting everyone, but not at all in a you know, anything but just a totally genuine way. You know, he just was glad to be there and appreciating the fact that, you know, people were there to check him out. So that was an honour for me to meet Percy P. So yeah, I had a great night.
You sort of reminded me of someone's like really nice dad as well. He's very humble, handing out Percy P stickers. It was brilliant. You need to work on those DJ Format stickers and getting those out. So what are you up to in the minute, recording wise, live wise?
I'm doing a lot of DJ gigs at the moment, not for any, you know, promotional reasons as such, just, you know, obviously I like to DJ from time to time and keep myself out there. And I'm working on my sort of third album, which has taken a long time because I didn't want to kind of repeat myself and really do exactly the same sort of funky hip-hop stuff with Abdominal. I wanted to just sort of, you know, take it in a slightly different direction. You know, keep the sort of funk there, but maybe sort of mess around with some musicians and just try and get some different things going rather than some old school rap tracks. You know, I've done a couple of funk tracks, I've done a couple of jazz tracks, believe it or not, and I'm just kind of, you know, trying out a lot of different things and just trying to get the balance right. And yeah, it's taken me a long time to kind of, you know, be happy, but it's getting there.
You're actually going to think about sort of writing your own arrangements then with musicians, or sort of play them breaks and get them to improvise? How's that going to work?
Probably a little bit of a combination of the two. With one of the jazz tracks, I kind of had a lot of the samples already that I'd found and I wanted to get them replayed, and then I kind of, you know, also had definite ideas that me and, it's Nostalgia 77 that I've been doing it with, but me and him kind of, you know, without me being able to read music so well these days, you know, we were able to map it out on the computer, you know, and you know, basically write the music in a really dumb way on a keyboard, you know, and for the horn parts. So it was a new experience for me, and I really enjoyed it, actually. And with the other track, it was kind of a bit more of a mix of samples and musicians, and, you know, there was room for the guys to improvise a little bit, but it's pretty well structured. You know, I didn't want to just hand it over to a bunch of guys and sort of do all the work for me. I wanted to sort of have a definite idea of where the track was going and sort of develop it with them a little bit, you know, with let them get their creative juices going a little bit, because, you know, you just tell a musician what to play, they're not going to stay around too long and get a bit bored. So yeah.
I really like Nostalgia 77 stuff, actually. It's starting to grow on me. It's, play it in a bar on a Sunday afternoon, it's going down quite well. Looking back on your first two albums, is there any tracks that you would say you still really like and still really stand out for you, or how do you feel about your first two pieces of work?
Yeah, there are definitely tracks that I still love, and there are definitely tracks that I'm not so happy with, but, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, and, you know, there's no point in beating yourself up about it. It's like, you know, there's always things that you think, oh, I wish I'd done that a little bit different, and maybe I could have done that better, but it takes me long enough to do a record as it is. You know, if I start nitpicking any more, you know, I'm going to get locked up by the men in white coats, because I just, you know, I'll never leave a track alone. I keep drive myself mad. So yeah, there's definitely things that I'm still super proud of and super happy to play out occasionally when I DJ, but generally speaking, yeah, I'm happy, but I just want to kind of move on a little bit.
What sort of stuff were you playing out last night? I heard a little Latin section. There's one song that's like absolutely amazing. And there's a few guitars knocking around in there. Did you sort of think of a theme for the night before you started, or is it just literally I've got a box and this is what's coming out of it?
No, it's pretty well organised. I don't know if that's a bad thing to admit or a good thing to admit. I like to kind of be organised and know that I've got little batches of maybe 10 to 15 records that are all going to, you know, like a little Latin section, a little funk section, maybe a little funky rock section, an old school hip-hop section, just so that, you know, you're going to sort of sound on point and professional. You know, it's fun sometimes to just sort of make it up as you go along, just with a random box of records, but I do like to sort of put the work in beforehand to make sure that, you know, each mix is going to be, you know, one record going into the next. They're going to kind of really work together and kind of keep things moving along nicely. So I kind of work out a set and then kind of go around, you know, I obviously DJ in so many different places. I'll sort of go city to city doing roughly the same set and maybe fine-tuning it along the way. But it's kind of fairly prearranged, yeah.
Great. Right, Stealing James. Tell us about Stealing James. I believe we're going to hear part two.
Yeah, as it's a Saturday morning and we're both feeling a little bit delicate, I thought part one is probably a little bit more energetic and it's too early in the morning for that. So, yeah, I'm going to play part two. It's kind of like, let's say, a tribute to James Brown. I mean, I didn't want to kind of cash in on the whole, you know, James Brown dying and, oh, I do a tribute. But it was just something that I did for fun. I wanted to do a... I've been meaning for years to kind of do an updated, you know, cut and paste as a sort of homage to the... to some of the classic cut and paste stuff, like Feeling James, which was the original sort of James Brown cut up, and other things like, you know, Lesson 2 or Lesson 3. It's too early in the morning for me to remember. I think it was Lesson 2, Steinsky and Double D, and records of that nature. You know, I wanted to do my own modern day one, and it's just fun to get a bunch of James Brown records and mess around with them because, you know, let's face it, James Brown made some incredible music and I never get bored of playing around with it. So it was quite literally me going back to basics, what I think I'm best at, and just having some fun and making some feel-good music. And it's been really well received, and obviously people, you know, like the James Brown element, and obviously people that like the way that I put things together in a kind of b-boy style. It's sort of turned out to be a good combination. So yeah, I'll give you a little toast of part two, which is the slightly more... down tempo Saturday morning with a hangover kind of one. You can check out part one or two on my MySpace page if you haven't managed to pick it up. You can check it out. Probably download it, I don't know.
Do you know the MySpace address?
I think it's like...
Not a lot of people do.
No, some bloody house DJ beat me to the actual DJ format, you know, / whatever. And I think my one is literally DJ format MySpace. Straight, you know, it's like the, you know, MySpace.com and all the / and whatever the hell, you know, the usual standard stuff, but then it's DJ format MySpace.
Nice one. It's in my top friends anyway. If you go, yeah, MySpace.com/GrooveManc. It's in the top friends there. Right, we're going to hear from DJ Format. This is Groovement. We're going to play Stealing James Part 2 and then another couple of records, then we'll have another chat.
Why do you like soul food?
Because it makes me happy.
Hey, drummer, you want some?
Yeah.
Hey, you want some, drummer?
Hit me, man.
You look good, baby. Go ahead, take a little bit. Oh, you got it, man. Little bass.
Yeah.
Hey, do it. Give me a little bottom, man.
Can you dig it?
Mmm. Oh, it feels so good. Hooked up or not, but do it anyway.
How's this, Wolfman?
Hey, this is far out. How about that organ? You got some organ for us, baby?
Yeah, Wolfman.
Oh, wow. Oh, my. Hey, horn.
Yeah.
Come on, what's up?
Hey, what you want to call this, Wolfman?
Let's call it.
Fíjame bien, déjame sacar los espejuelos porque la verdad es que estoy un poco cegado. Estoy un poco cegado. Déjame llegar, déjame ver. Oh, sí, el 1356 de Rosdell. 1356 de Rosdell. Aquí mismo el vacilón. Aquí mismo el vacilón. Eso, caballero. Gran tiro, petarlo. De todas maneras, vuestra. Voy a entrar a ver el vacilo. ¡Ave María! ¡Ave María, caballero! Con razón el compañero Andy. Con razón el compañero Andy me dijo a mí que te iba a andar sabroso. Mira cómo está la jeva por allá en los pantalones calientes. ¡Ay, bendito sea Dios! ¿Tú ves este rumbón aquí? Si este rumbón estuviera en el Bronx. ¡Mira qué cuellito! ¡Mira qué cinturita! ¡Mira qué pie!
Right, you're locked on to Groovement. My name's Agent J, his name's DJ Format. So, Format, I was just saying, I bought my mum for Christmas the Fania remix series that he did, and I was reading in the sleeve notes, which funnily enough is my attitude towards sort of Latin music, really. Even though I grew up listening to it and going to parties and hearing lots of different styles, my mum's on about cumbia, she's on about salsa, she's on about merengue, and I'm like, oh, right, I just thought it was all Latin music. So expand a little bit on the Fania stuff for us, if you will.
Basically, I over the years of looking for breaks and, you know, great music, I've stumbled across, you know, some great Latin stuff, typically Mongo Santa Maria or Dave Baby Cortez, Happy Soul with a Hook, that I kind of ended up remixing. And, you know, I only really knew the classic stuff. I've got to say, it wasn't an area of music that I really delved into. I think I was kind of like, well, growing up in Southampton, you don't have too much options on buying great records. You have to kind of dig a bit. But I think I just was scared to kind of get into another genre of music to sort of start spending my money on. And when they asked me to do this kind of mix of all this Fania stuff, I was like, well, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to kind of really get in the vaults and see what they've got. Unfortunately, most of it was on CD, but, you know, it's obviously still great music. But, you know, it wasn't as people have sort of, you know, seem to be under the impression that I got given a stack of great old classic original press, you know, Fania gold label. No, it wasn't like that. But yeah, it was absolutely great because, you know, it literally did teach me very fast that, you know, there was just so many different kinds of Latin music that, you know, comes under that umbrella of Latin music, just soulful, funky, and yeah, like, oh, it, you know, even some rocky stuff. I mean, it really opened my eyes and ears up, and yeah, unfortunately I have ended up spending a lot of money on it since, because I've really kind of got the bug for the Latin stuff, and it's really good to play in my sets as well. People seem to really get into the little Latin sections that I do. You know, I don't go too mad, maybe like a little 15-20 minute burst of Latin. You know, there's a lot of people that I think sometimes, you know, some of the hip-hop kids might struggle with it. You know, if it's more of a funk sort of audience, you know, I can definitely get away with playing a bit more of the Latin stuff. So, you know, I don't want to lose people. I'm just trying to keep everybody happy, I guess.
So what sort of stuff do you, if you have any free time, like, say, in the car on the way back to London now, what sort of stuff do you listen to in your spare time?
Well, actually, in the car on the way back today, I'll be listening to the commentary on Southampton versus Bristol Rovers, because I'm a Southampton man, and we're playing in the FA Cup. We're probably going to get beaten as well. But normally, actually, I'm really lazy. I never get around to getting a CD player fitted in my car, so I'll be listening to old cassettes of a Southampton pirate radio station that I taped probably in 1990. That tends to be what I've got in my car on tape, or I listen to Radio 5 Live just to kind of get the news and the sports. I'm actually weird. But if I'm at home, you know, I listen to a lot of music at home all the time, and God, my tastes are, sorry, a bit of an explosion on the microphone there. My tastes are all over the place. I mean, I'm listening to mainly 60s and 70s music, but quite literally across the board, all sorts. Always looking for kind of new old stuff, as I call it.
So how do you go about digging? Have you given up on charity shops because they seem to have got quite saturated, or how do you travel Europe? For example, the Holy Shit compilation with Thing. How did you find it? How did you find those records?
That was really from years and years. That was more charity shop stuff that we were using on that mix. Not all of it, you know, there was some rare expensive stuff that, you know, kind of gospel records that were quite collectible. But generally speaking, it was a lot of just charity shop sort of rubbish. Well, not rubbish, but, you know, what should have been rubbish, but in actual fact was great music. But on a, you know, unlikely religious record talking about God. But generally, yeah, I like to quite often take gigs that allow me to go somewhere interesting to go and do a little bit of digging. That's what I, you know, whenever possible, I like to do. You know, I'm going to Denmark in a couple of weeks, and then I'm off to Russia a week after that, and Switzerland. Just, you know, I get to go to some good places, so I just make sure that I, you know, always stay there for a few days and, you know, get time to do the record shops.
Do you have a portable record player?
I do indeed. It's in my bag in the other room now. I always carry it around with me. I just can't seem to get out of that habit. But it's priceless, really, because, you know, you've got to check stuff out. You can't just expect to, you know, judge every book by its cover kind of thing. A lot of records that look incredible are absolute rubbish, and vice versa. So, yeah, you got to check it out.
My mate's got a little London bus that runs along the groove of a record and plays it. That's going to a bit of Cuba in there. You got one?
Yeah, that was one of those novelty things that when I was in Japan, I just thought, that's one thing that I've just got to have. Just, I'm never going to use it. It's going to just sit on a shelf at home, but hey, it's just a bit of fun. I kind of collect portable record players. Or I used to actively, you know, go around car boots and junk shops and really actively collect record players. Now I would say I have a collection of them, but I don't really look to, you know, get any new ones because most of them are in the loft at my parents' house because I haven't got room for them. I've got about 30-odd, so... gets a bit crazy.
Right, I'll let you get another tune out of your bag and then we'll chat about what you're going to play. right, Format. Tell us about that record.
Yeah, I had to play that because that was a bizarre gospel, well, a great gospel record that is just so good, and I wish I'd found it before I did the Holy Shit compilation with Mr. Thing, because, yeah, it's fantastic. But unfortunately, I didn't find out about that one until after we'd done it. Somebody kind of, a record dealer, pointed it out to me. Oh, you like religious stuff? Check this gospel record out. Like, oh, God. So, yeah, I had to just sneak that in, so...
Do you think for the rest of your life now you're going to be regretting not? Or are you going to do a sequel compilation? Are you on the lookout for? Or are you going to do another theme? Maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. Rather than sort of repeat the theme, I'd rather just, you know, go and do something different. You know, I did like European Vacation and then Holy Shit, and I'm actually I'm doing a kind of rock mix at the moment with another guy, the Soul Savers Sound System. And it's kind of like, you know, a lot of psychedelic 60s rock and just all sorts of weird 60s rock. You know, some of it's funky, some of it's pretty hard, some of it's kind of fuzzed out guitars and you know, lots of big drums. But that's going to be my next little thing. It's going to be called Kings of Rock, taking a little pun off the old Run DMC. You know, we're going to kind of rip off the cover and have a bit of fun with it. So, yeah, look out for that.
Okay, I'll let you put that record away. Before you play your last record... I was going to ask you, if you were a punter and not a DJ, DJ Format didn't exist, sad as that would be, who would you go and see on a night out? Who are you rating? Who's maybe a friend of yours, like, for example, Thing, is quite a good DJ himself. Who do you rate?
Yeah, I definitely rate Mr. Thing. I mean, he's a great party DJ. He's a real good all-rounder, actually. I think he doesn't get enough credit, but he's got an incredible collection of all sorts of music, but... He's real big on his kind of funk and breaks kind of stuff. So, yeah, I hope people will kind of be more aware of that now, actually. But personally, I would not really go out to too much kind of hip-hop and, you know, things like that. I mean, funnily enough, tonight I am going out as a punter, as a fan. Back in London, I'm going to see Holly Golightly, who's a kind of blues singer that I'm really into. And there you go. That's a good example. I'm going out as a fan, pay my money, go and see some music that I love, but it's blues.
Nice one for my ear. It's been a pleasure. When are you next in Manchester? You're not going to know, are you? About a year's time or something? Not sure. All right, tell us a couple... 6 months, maybe. Tell us a couple of upcoming gigs.
Oh, God. Look on my MySpace. I can't remember.
Denmark, London, anywhere.
Next weekend, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and then York. Boogie down York.
Nice one, right. Go for it.
It is, ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Is right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. Thank you.
This is DJ Format on Groovement with Agent J on Unity Radio.